Now we saw last time that the world, since the fall of Adam, is in darkness. It's without Christ. And of course, Christ is the light and the life. And so they are without light and they are without life. And God is sending that light and life to us through His Son. And we find how He did that by sending Jesus Christ into this world. And how He prepared for Christ's coming. Verse 6, it says there that there was a man. Now, John has been speaking about Jesus Christ, who is a man, and yet who is much more than a man. He's the God-man, true God, and true man in one person. Now, what John does next is he turns his attention to one who is only a man, a mere man. And yet, he was among the greatest of men, as Jesus tells us. Even John the Baptist. You remember in Matthew 11, verse 11, Jesus said there, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And of course, to be a member of God's kingdom is the greatest blessing of all, greater than any gifts or offices. It's to have salvation. And then in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, you have the birth of John being foretold by the angel Gabriel to his father Zacharias. Verse 13, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." Now if anyone's going to be great, that's how you want to be great, in God's eyes, not in the world's eyes. But John was. "And ye shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." In other words, he practiced total abstinence. That's a great thing too. "And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." You remember how when Mary greeted Elizabeth, that John was in Elizabeth's womb at that time, and it says the babe in her womb leaped for joy. The Holy Spirit brought joy even to that unborn child, John the Baptist. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Now that's true greatness, turning people to the Lord. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So he's supposed to get the people ready for the Lord's coming. Now notice what he says here in John chapter 1, verse 6. "There was a man." Now that word "was" is the word that means he came into being. Remember how we said that word was not used of Jesus Christ because he is eternal God? But it is used of John the Baptist because he is a man, and as all men, he was created and had a beginning. And so as to his nature, John the Baptist was a man, as all men are. And remember, even though God had great prophets and others in the Scriptures, they were but men. You remember how James chapter 5 Elijah is being spoken of here. John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. But verse 17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he was a man as are all men, just like we. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So he was a man by nature. But what about his office? There was a man sent from God. So as to his office, his ministry, he was sent from God. Now that word sent is the word from which we get the word apostle. An apostle is one who is sent with a message. So John was sent to bring God's message to the people of Israel. He was a prophet. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets. Matthew 11 again. Verse 13, for all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. Up until John, the Baptist. So he's going all the way back to the beginning of the world, to the time now that John has arrived on the scene. He was also a preacher. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist doing what? Preaching. That was the work God sent him to do. Preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn around. Forsake your sins. Come back to God. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist was the foretold messenger and forerunner and harbinger of Christ. He was sent to announce his arrival and to identify him. In the Old Testament, God said the Messiah would come. The people were waiting for him. They were in expectation of his arrival. And John the Baptist was the one who was to say, he's here. In Malachi, the last of the Old Testament books, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. This is the Lord speaking. The Lord is going to come, and John is going to prepare his way. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So I'm going to send a messenger to say, the Lord whom you are seeking is coming. And that was John. Also, in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus tells us very much about John, verse 9, Jesus said, but what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, yes, he was a prophet. I send to you in more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. So John is the fulfillment of that prophecy we read from Malachi. He was also the fulfillment of the promise of the return of Elijah the prophet. The Old Testament said Elijah would come back before the great and notable day of the Lord. Now, that was not saying that John or that Elijah was going to come back personally, but he was going to come back in spirit and in ministry in the person of John the Baptist. Malachi chapter 4, You have some people who are saying we got to wait for John the Baptist to come back to the earth. No, we don't. That was fulfilled, or I'm saying we have to wait for Elijah to come back to earth. That was fulfilled in John the Baptist. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. This is how the Old Testament closes. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And of course, we already saw how that was said of John the Baptist by the angel Gabriel. Notice in Matthew 11, again, you might want to keep your finger in Matthew 11. We have to go back there a few times. Matthew 11. Verse 14, Jesus said, and if you will receive it, and then he refers to John that he just spoken of in the verse before it, this is Elias, which was for to come. John the Baptist is the Elijah that God said he would send before the coming of Christ. And that was his work, to prepare the people for Christ's coming. That's why it was so interesting to read in Matthew 11:3 when John sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you he that should come? Or do we look for another? That was his whole work, was to tell the people, Jesus is he who was to come. But in Isaiah 40, that's where that prophecy is found. Isaiah 40. Verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. It will be seen in the person of Christ. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So here's God telling what he would do, and we're reading in the New Testament him fulfilling what he said. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, speaking of John, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And it's an amazing thing how the Bible brings everything together and it comes to pass exactly as God said it would. Now, John the Baptist, remember Jesus said he was a prophet, yet more than a prophet? He was the greatest of the prophets in that he saw Christ in the flesh. All the other prophets spoke of him as way out there, a long time yet to come before he would arrive, and they never saw him. John the Baptist came right at the time of Christ's arrival, and he was able to point him out in person. Luke chapter 7. Verse 28, Jesus said this of John. I'll read verse 27. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, right before your person, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of heaven, or in the kingdom of God, is greater than he. So what a privilege to be a child of God. More so than what John enjoyed as a prophet. Now, John was like a bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He foretold Christ's coming, which we find all through the Old Testament. He introduced him when he came. And he also preached the gospel. know, the Old Testament is the law, the New Testament is the gospel, even though the gospel was witnessed to in the Old Testament. And so here you have John preaching. Look with me in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. In verse 1 it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel means the good news or the glad tidings of great joy. The message that God has sent salvation to sinful men through the person and work of His Son who died for our sins and was buried and rose again. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And then how does it begin? As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Remember, he said that you are sinners, and people would come to him confessing their sin, and on that basis of their repentance, he would baptize them. And so that's the beginning of the gospel. We find in Acts chapter 19 that he did indeed preach the gospel. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us in Acts 19. Verse 3 and 4. When he met these 12 disciples of John at Ephesus, and he said unto them in verse 3, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. So they were baptized by John. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, here's what he told them, that they should believe on him which should come after him, immediately after him. That is, on Christ Jesus. Now, what are we required to do to be saved? Repentance from sin and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. That's what God says we must do to be saved. And what was John preaching? Repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And so again, he ended the old and brought in the new. Now, let's go on in John chapter 1. It says, whose name was John. You remember, John's parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, were elderly. And Elizabeth was barren. And they had, for a very long time, prayed for a child. But things were getting more and more unlikely, impossible. She was unable to bear children. They were both too old to have children. But then, while Zacharias was ministering in the temple, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and told him that his wife would bear a son and that they were to call his name John. And John, the name means Jehovah is gracious. He's a gracious God, the God of all grace. And so it was John who had the work and the honor of introducing Jesus, who brought to us the grace of salvation. Remember Titus 2:11? The gospel is the gospel of grace. Salvation is by the free grace of God. And John, of course, was preaching that gospel and introducing Christ, who brought that grace to us. And in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, it says there, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And that's what John was telling the people. The grace of God has come to you in the person of Jesus Christ. And in having Him, you have God's saving grace. All right, let's go to verse 7 of John chapter 1. It says, the same. Again, John, why did he come? He came for a witness. Or he came for the purpose of being a witness. Now the word witness, it's the same word from which we get our English word martyr. I don't know if you knew that. A martyr is someone who was a witness. The word itself means evidence or testimony. It's one who tells what he has seen or heard or knows. In other words, it's something he has a personal experience of that he can tell others about. A Christian witness is one who testifies of what he knows of the person and work of Christ. I've come to know Christ. He's done a work of grace in my life. He saved my soul. And I want to tell you what he's done for me as a witness. Acts chapter 19. In verse 10, it says, this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And so Paul, here he was bearing his witness, and as a result, the word spread and others heard. Now, John was just such a witness to Jesus. John chapter 5 and verse 33. Jesus said this, you sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. So he was faithful to what God had called him to do. He told about Jesus Christ and the salvation that he would provide by his saving work. Now, he was also a true martyr, which is what the word's original form is, because he sealed his witness of Christ with his blood. He gave his life in doing his work. In Matthew chapter 14, there was the wicked King Herod, and he married his brother's wife. And that's something that is wrong. It's incest. And John told him it was wrong. In Matthew 14, verse 3, Herod had laid hold on John, arrested him, and bound him, put him in chains, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Boy, people hate to hear that. What you're doing is wrong. You can't do that. That's a sin. You see the reactions that people have when you tell them that what they're doing is a sin? They get very upset because they want to do it. Well, John was a very courageous witness. He wasn't afraid to tell a king, you're sinning. And what did the king do? Verse 10. He sent and beheaded John in the prison. Had his head severed from his body. So he died in the discharge of his work. John's work was to bear witness, or to give his personal testimony, and to tell others what he knew of Jesus. That he is the light of life. And so his work, as it is ours, was to point others to the light, who is Christ. And again, the Apostle Paul did that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. He says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. Here's why God saved me. That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. As I was such a wicked sinner, and yet the Lord spared me and saved me, even though I didn't deserve it. I should have been judged. Instead, he forgave me. And so he showed much long suffering. And it was for a pattern or an example to them who should hereafter believe on Him. In other words, if God could save such a vile guy as Paul, He can save me too. So that's an encouragement to me, no matter how great a sinner I am, to come to Christ for His forgiveness. And why do we believe on Him? To life everlasting. Christ is the light. He's the life. Believe on Him and you will have eternal life. And that's what John goes on to say in chapter 1, verse 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe. And so you have a purpose clause here. He was a witness so that all men through Him might believe. In other words, the end and goal of John's ministry was that all, the word men is not in the original Greek, it's just that all through Him might believe. That all who heard Him might believe, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. In other words, the purpose of the gospel ministry is to bring our hearers to faith in Jesus Christ that they might be saved. That's the whole purpose of it. And it's the only way that men will ever be saved. You remember in Acts chapter 16 when Paul and Silas were cast into prison there in Philippi, there was an earthquake and the jailer came to them in verse 30. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What's the answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe in Christ. Put your trust in Him and what He did for you. In other words, God uses His Word preached by His ministers to bring men to faith and salvation. Romans chapter 1. Here we have the gospel method of salvation laid out systematically. In verse 15 of chapter 1 it says, Paul tells us this, "So as much as in me is, as much as I am able by the grace of God, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So don't be afraid to share the gospel with people. Why? It's the only way they'll ever be saved. And if God sees fit to use it, it will be the power of God to salvation in their lives. Notice in chapter 10 of Romans, verse 11, "For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed," on Christ. Why? "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So we need to call upon the Lord in faith to be saved. How can we ever do that? What will ever bring us to that? Well, he says in verse 14, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed?" You have to believe before you'll call on Him to save you. Well, how do you come to believe? "And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard?" How can you believe something you don't know anything about? You can't. "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" How can you hear about Jesus? By those who preach Him. "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So those who spread the gospel have beautiful feet in God's eyes. "So then," but "they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." God uses His gospel preached by men to bring people to faith in Christ and salvation in Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's God's program. That's how He does it. By the foolishness of preaching, He saves those that believe. What the world considers foolish is God's wise method. And remember, this was John's message. Remember what we saw in Acts chapter 19? In verse 4? Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. John was faithful. He did the work he was called to do. We need to be faithful. Are we called to this work? Yes, we too are to preach Jesus Christ to the lost and to call on them to put their faith in Him. We'll close with Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Here's what Jesus said just before He returned to heaven. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. We need to do what John did. He was a witness so that all through him might believe. Let us be God's witnesses so that all who hear the gospel at our mouths too might believe and be saved as God is pleased to give the increase. With that, we'll close in prayer.